Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I tell you what, I thought the budget was going into Skeeter's pocket, but we are sitting here live in the Backchat studios in a brand new Shelter Footy car set. Skeeter, Mark Reddings, Will Scopin with you. Hello, Skate.
Hello, Scoey. This is state of the art. Looks like I've got a sort of a massive surfboard as a desk or something that's very, very flash. And I've got to say, the backdrop is magnificent. You've got some new jumpers, which I'm led to believe you've sent some families in Indonesia broke because you bartered them down to about $2.50 a jump. You are the king of negotiations. You may see, I'd be paying twice the price that they actually put up there, and you just screw them to the ground.
You'd be in there working in some of the markets. Skeeter's giving out some jumpers. Yes, that's right. Back from Bali. Just had a little bit of a break before the footy season kicked off. I mean, round zero didn't really kick off. I think it did. It felt like it for us. We're happy with round zero, aren't we?
Didn't mind. It's just been weird not having footy in Perth last weekend. But the bottom line is we did start footy earlier than normal. It was just trying to counteract with the NRL stuff overseas. But yeah, look, some good footy, some weird footy, and some major injuries, some talking points. Yeah, there's a heap to get through.
It is a huge day today, though. Make sure you're following us on social, Shelter Footycast on Instagram. You can send us an email. Shelter are giving a slab of beers away this week for the best comment that comes into the emails. I've made the call. Shelter's made the call. The two emails you can send them into, footycast@shelterbrewing.com.au, or you can send it straight here to Backchat Studios, footycast@backchatstudios.com.au. The very best email that we get after today's show or Thursday's show, I'm sending a slab out. You happy with that, Skeeter?
Like it. Love it.
It's nothing to do with your back pocket. As I said, huge, huge day in here today. New set, round zero, footy's back. It's Skeeter's birthday, everybody. Happy birthday, Skeeter. Yeah,
thank you, Skeeter.
70th. Well done, mate. 70 years old.
Don't worry, not the first time I've been told that. In fact, my age, I won't give it away, but put it this way. The way Steve Smith's batting in New Zealand, his average is coming down to about where I am, which is mid-50s.
Is that right?
And yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm going, my wife, who's 54 as we speak, looks a lot younger than me. He's going to be older than me in 2 weeks because she's 55. So you just got to always think you got to punch above. And I know you do it pretty successfully as well, Sko.
Wow.
But yeah, so I'm doing that. And I'll just tell you a brief story. 54 years ago, my mum gave birth to me. She was in labour for 5 days in a Canadian hospital. I weighed 11 pounds, Sko. So guess how many kids my poor mother had?
Just the single
banana. She went, no, that's a bit too much for me. So the little fathead came out of her and... We've remained very close.
Happy birthday, Skeeter.
Thank you very much.
I'll tell you what, it's a big day. Well done, mate. Yeah, as I said, 70 years young today. Pacific Avenue playing at Shelter Brewery down in Busso. It's 22nd of March. Hey, Skeeter.
This is absolutely up my alley.
Is it?
I do like it,
is
yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, I do like this. This sounds good.
Pacific Avenue, Sydney-based indie rock lords. I'm pretty sure one of the Inspired Unemployed lads are in this one. Final release sale tickets on now, next Friday, the 22nd. Make sure you get them. Look, Skeeter might even be down there. We chuck him on the mic. That'd be quite interesting, I think. A big announcement last week, of course. Travel and Sports Australia getting around us for West Coast away games, which there won't be one for a little while now.
After this weekend.
Yeah, after this weekend. They're back at home. There's gather round. They're away again. There's a away derby. So we're going to have a little break. But Chris was the winner of last week's giveaway. Port Adelaide v West Coast. He'll be on the plane with the players to Adelaide. Tickets to the big show there, West Coast v Port Adelaide this weekend. You give them any chance? We'll do our preview on Thursday.
Well, yeah, suffice to say it's going to be difficult. But how's that trip? So they're probably leaving on a Friday with the team.
Correct.
Saturday, I'm not sure if they get to go to the captain's run or not. Not sure, but either way, they can explore Adelaide, have a look around the beautiful CBD there, watch the game on Sunday. That's a ripping trip thanks to Travel and Sport Australia. So Chris going with a mate, maybe his partner. Good luck to him.
Yes, very good. Well done, Chris. Now, let's get into some of the big moments of round zero, Skeeter. Our first review show of the year. I want to start with this. Did you catch any social media last week, Skeet? Did you see any of the Shelter Footy Cast social media? I know you're not a big social media.
No, I saw Facebook, actually, which, you know, that's old school, but I didn't see...
So you've been into me. You've been saying maybe I'm not a man of my word.
I knew you'd do it, because you're not... And there's two reasons. A, you're a man of your word, but also B, you're not going to miss an opportunity to promote yourself. And that's come to the forefront very regularly. You're teaching me a few things, and I've been around a while. No, I just saw you get out of the car up to starting. You did the lap. Did you feel, were there anyone there? Apart from the production crew, anyone else there?
Mate, so I'll talk you through it, right? So nude lap at Optus Stadium, yes. We're talking about, which on
Wooden Spoon,
podcast,
West Coast.
Right? And I got down there, I thought, 8:30, kids are asleep in the back of the car. So I had to have someone film it, so Alex came. I couldn't do it by myself.
And you obviously don't necessarily want a bloke to be standing there looking.
I've been playing footy 15 years, been in showers, mate, it's all good. But you know, my wife's seen it a few times as well, so that's fine. We've got two kids. At least twice. Now, back on rails here. Mate, 8:30, I think going to be a barren desert type operation. Mate, there's families running around. There's people at the camp field. Mate, I think they were packing up from the concert. There's security everywhere. There's people. Mate, I've seen it quieter at West Coast home games. Genuinely. Seriously.
So did anyone, look? Was there any concern that you might... Because this is indecent public exposure.
Yeah, that's a good point. Look, I didn't quite think of that. I started around the backside.
Yes, so to speak.
Got it done. Nude lap of Optus. But in the emotion of it all, because I was quite tired. It took me 8 minutes.
And you're talking to camera, so that's quite fatiguing.
My arm got sore from holding the phone because I didn't want to get any,
no one else can do that. I mean, Alex can't run and it looks...
Correct. So, I did that. And by the end of it, I was knackered.
Was it liberating?
Well, it was liberating. But I also got a little bit, emotionally distressed. And I made another... bet that if West Coast win,
I know.
If West Coast win
the wooden spoon
in 2024, I'll be running around the MCG naked. I'm not sure what actually came over me, but I've backed it up.
Wow, that's bizarre. And lucky it wasn't like it was a relatively warm night or a decent warm night. Because if it's
you'd have to ask Ali.
The shrinkage factor can happen anyway. Let's hope it didn't happen for you.
All right, Shelter Footy Cast, Will Schofield, Mark Reddings. That's enough of that, Skeeter. Absolute junk. There's a few serious issues happening right now in the AFL. The Cracker Brothers named Kevin Sheedy and Terry Danaher in a racism class action. There's quite a few that have been named in this. In short, Phil Cracker is leading a class action brought by several former players, including his brother James, who alleged the AFL I'm not sure why I said James.
Yes.
AFL failed to protect them from racial abuse on and off the field over several decades.
Yeah, the 80s, look, going back in time, there's some horrendous cases and the language used, not so much even in your playing days, but back in that era, it was pretty poor. So there have been some big names. You mentioned Sheeds has come out and defended himself. Terry Danaher, Roger Merritt's been part of it, Billy Duckworth, Wayne Johnston, a myriad of players, and there's expected to be possibly over 1,000 plaintiffs. Now, it comes to that number in essence because the likes of, say, Eddie Betts, Nicky Winmar, who over the journey are automatically put into this basket. They can opt out, but at the moment that they are automatically included as part of the plaintiffs. They can pull out of this, but given what Nicky Winmar has been through and Eddie Betts particularly, you'd think those types of players would continue. But it's a huge story. Hawthorn, the racism scandal of last year was big. This has the potential, and it's a really difficult... I find it difficult. Hey, look, two things. A, I've never walked... In the shoes of an Indigenous person and what they've been through, what's been said to them on a footy field or off it. So I speak with a bit of naivety on that front. But I also, the education that's happened since the 80s, for instance, 45 years later, to what was back then was some of the crude stuff, the Chris Lewis, and people would wonder why he would... he'd been up on report because of the abuse, and his best way to retaliate was of a physical nature. So... you might have a different spiel to that. I also know that guys back then, the education levels were nothing like they are today. So it's going to be interesting to see how the... And the AFL's defending their position, by the way. And it's going to be an extraordinary case how this plays out legally, because it has been dubbed by Cracker's lawyer as the biggest ever racial vilification case in Australia. It could be a massive story. It will be a massive story. I just... It's really hard to work out. Something was said 40 years ago, how that plays out legally now.
Yeah, like you, I think I'm severely underqualified to speak on the issue. Other than, speaking about my Indigenous teammates and never played in the 80s, wasn't even alive for any of it really, or 90s or whatever, you know, speaking of my own experience, we still see it. We still have cases of racism. So
and it was 10 times worse back then.
Exactly right. So we still see it today, and we see it with members of the crowd. We see it less and less with players, you know, if any. But certainly 30, 40 years ago, I can imagine it was a different time. So, you know, the fact that it's been described as one of the, you know, biggest, if not the biggest class action in this space is huge, and it'll be a watch this space. But my opinion on it, to be frank, it's well off the mark and probably doesn't matter too much. A little bit more locally, there's a bit going on out of the Waffle on the weekend.
Yeah, so it's come to light this morning that there's going to be an investigation. Claremont played Perth in a pre-season practice match, their league side. Now, Zach Mainwaring, these are allegations. And again, I don't know much about what's been said, but there have been some slurs allegedly put towards Zach.
About what?
There's a suggestion that it might be related to his late father, which, again, this all has to play out. It's been reported on radio this morning. So off the back of that, you know, I can't add much more except to say that it, you know, it's unsavoury if that's the case. Mm. Whether it's reportable, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think this is a very unique case if it goes further with regards to what was said to Zach.
I as a player, used to fly pretty close to the line sometimes, both physically and verbally. Like, I used to go at players about different things that weren't football related. But one thing I used to at least try, and I don't think I ever stepped over this line, was race, religion, sexuality, and family. I don't think the family stuff is above the line. That's in any matter, whether it's about a father who's passed away, both you and I have lost your fathers. You can imagine how you would react or I would react if someone said that to you on the street. You're not going to just cop that. You know, whether it's family members passed away, or you know, mothers or sisters, or whatever it is, the family I think falls into all those categories. So, look, if that, you know, it's all allegations at this stage, but if that has in fact happened, I think that's extremely grubby behaviour, especially in a preseason match. To be frank,
this is the other thing. Now, whether it's true or not, it has to play out.
Well, Steve Hargrave, it's not just coming out of nowhere.
I totally agree, but we, you know, have to give the presumption of innocence on this play. Steve Hargrave, the integrity officer at the WA Footy Commission, will do a thorough investigation. The curious part here is, and Adrian Barrich is the president of Perth, really close mate with Maney. So that to me, Barrow, if you know, Barrow be aghast. I say seriously, if this is true,
yes,
he'd be aghast at what has been said. And yeah, I'm with you. I would erupt if that happened to me. I know, on field or off. I'm happy to take some personal insults, as you well know.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely, 70-year-old man here on the podcast. but this is the point. This is why it falls in the same line as racism. What you said about Chris Lewis, if you're calling him something of a racial matter to Chris Lewis, he's going to react the way probably we would react from a family point of view. That's why it's so serious. The Indigenous stuff, the family stuff, whatever it is, there is a line on the footy field, and I don't think it's very grey, to be honest. I think there's some specific topics that you can't touch, and that's one of them.
Yeah. I mean, very briefly, you look at what Alistair Clarkson said to Jimmy Webster.
Yeah.
And that's meant that Clarko now has to go to, a Pride event. Mm-hmm. To me, that term which he used, I've never associated that with being a homophobic remark. But maybe that's, again, maybe I'm coming old school. You know, if I call someone, obviously, a gay slur, which is very, very blatant. That to me, I don't think Clarko intended that to be.
We had pretty big discussions in here about it, because I was sort of the same ilk. But speaking to people, and again, this is why racism, sexuality, religion, family. I don't think it matters what you and I actually think, or like it's how someone else can take it. So
I don't think Jimmy Webster would have taken it that way. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
I don't. It's come from the AFL, not the player themselves. But you're right. I'm certainly playing catch up with this, and you're a bit closer to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the landscape's changing daily, and probably all just need to be better blokes probably at some stage, but something's happened in the heat of the action as well, 100%. So you've got to be able to talk through it. Let's keep moving now, Skeeter. Back to the footy, on-field stuff, some big moments over the weekend. First one, probably on a sad sense, two ACLs from the same game. Sam Doherty, who we know his troubles, both from a cancer point of view, he's come back from testicular cancer and played, but he's done two knees before. This is his third ACL. And Kitty Coleman in the same game, rising star, Brisbane's probably close to Brisbane's best player in a grand final, the last game he played, does his ACL both in the same game. Tragic. Look, tragic. With injuries, it's difficult. Injuries happen all the time in the AFL. But both of these players, like, terrible timing for both of them, really.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Matt Flynn, what a bad injury that is.
Yep.
He'll be back playing this year.
Yep.
This is 12 months, and did you ever have a knee, Rico?
No.
No.
You have?
I had it 15, and my career was never going to go anywhere, but
yes.
It's advanced so much in terms of, but it's still 12 months. Mm. And for Sam Doherty, as you mentioned, he's 30 years of age or thereabouts. You
know, Coulter in the window, Brisbane in the window.
Yeah. Sam, does he consider going again? I'm probably sure he will, but he must be going through those self-doubts about where his career is at. So they were two terrible moments on the weekend, no doubt.
Yeah, Kitty Coleman for mine, a lot of people picking him to have this huge breakout year. The back end of the season last year became their quarterback, the guy that they wanted the ball in the hands of.
Distributor.
Yeah, he was a distributor type player, and he started that way on the weekend as well. So really disappointing news out of both of those sides. A little tribunal incident that I thought just a quick little drive-by might be worth, Skeeter. Did you see Hewitt and Neil going head-to-head?
No, well, Hewitt belted him. When I say belted him,
did he?
Well, I personally believe we're so strong on concussion, contact to the head, he gets a fine of, what, $3,750?
Right.
I
reckon it was too light?
Well, Was it open hand?
No, I don't think it was.
I think, look, the force wasn't, you know, Barry Hall type, don't get me wrong, but it was a deliberate act, and if there was any suggestion that he was going accidental, I just thought it was weak, perhaps.
This is, look, I don't agree with you, but I can see, I sort of do. I think, so basically, like, it looked like it hit his shoulder and then clipped him on the chin, right? My understanding was this year was bad luck.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
And I think this is back to my point where the action and the consequence, we're too much, so it's come off his shoulder and then it's clipped him on the chin. The action was, I'm not sure what he was doing. He was pushing, punching, whatever he was doing. That's the action, right? Whether or not Lachie Neale doesn't get dropped because it clips him on the chin or not. Like, if that clips him on the chin, Lachie Neale goes down and is out for the game with concussion, with the exact same action, he probably would get 6 weeks minimum, probably more,
absolutely,
right? So, but it's the same action. So we're still penalising the outcome over the action.
100%. And that's, for me, Lachie could have dropped to his knees,
yeah,
and not been concussed, obviously, because it wasn't that full. But that would have, I'm sure that would have resulted in maybe a different outcome from the match review officer.
Exactly right. So this is why, look, they both got it. And Lachie Neale ends up punching him back and copping back the fine. My suggestion was like way more fines, like a $20,000 fine for that if they're going to fine people. I think overall, I don't know if that's the right suggestion. Maybe you can get involved and let me know either on socials, on YouTube, if you're watching there, chuck it in the comments, share the Footycast on socials, or send us an email on your thoughts on this. Maybe a better solution than what I'm offering, footycast@backchatstudios.com.au. I think we need to penalise the action, not the outcome. So that's where I'd say on that. Mark Reddings, Will Schofield, shout out to you guys. Skeeter, let's get into the games. I mean, we've done well to hype this season up, but this is what we're here for, the games. Having a look at them, review. First game, kicking off the season, Sydney defeating Melbourne at the SCG.
Yeah, and I was drinking Hamish's Kool-Aid on Thursday.
I thought you were going to say Shelters.
No, I'm off the Shelters for just the moment. But
okay.
Because Haim always comes in with this, thinks Melbourne's going to win the next 10 flags in a row for some reason. I bought into Thursday night that they would excel because of, in part, the loss of Taylor Adams, the loss of Callum Mills, the loss of Luke Parker.
I picked them. I picked Melbourne.
Yeah, I picked Melbourne. So Hammer has completely, and to be fair, Sydney, just show you time and time again, more so at the SCG than anywhere, that they have got a team headed by the lizard, who continues to do some beautiful
work. You like the lizard?
I know you like the lizard. He must have got close to three Brownlows on Thursday night.
He was exceptional, and that's why he's on. He's on like an 8-year deal, by the way. A halfback flanker, you've never seen it before. He was very good. I thought the biggest clash, though, was Grundy Gorn.
The big boy. Yeah. And we all know Grundy has emerged with, I think, the points on that. Numbers wise and influence on the game. I mean, Gorn wasn't terrible.
No,
But I thought Grundy, and you think about what it cost Sydney to get him.
Nothing.
It was such a good buy.
Collingwood might still be paying his wages.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two clubs ago.
Yeah, and so Simon Gooden's sitting there watching a bloke that he didn't play, and because of the Gorn factor, essentially play a huge role in their demise in game one.
He ended up with 23 disposals, 33 hit outs, 6 tackles. His tactics against Gorn have not raised eyebrows, I think really showed from a tactical point of view what teams can do. What I haven't seen talked about, Skeeter, do you know who the midfield coach is at the Sydney Swans?
Well, I know Coxie's there, but who else is in there?
Dean Coxie is the midfield coach.
Okay, yeah, well, that's it.
One of the great ruckmen of all time.
Yes.
Do you think he had his fingerprints all over this one? So Brody Grundy comes to Dean Cox, I'm sure, during the week and says, mate, I have trained on this guy for 12 months. Every day, and I know he hates it when ruckmen come across the line. Coxie goes, right, this is what we're going to do. So putting Grundy, who knows what beats him, and then Dean Cox, who strategy-wise, Coxie was never the biggest ruckman, but he was athletic, he was around the ground. I haven't seen that covered much, but I think they come up with the plan and they get it done. They beat him. They grind him into the ground and then they beat him. And Gorn's come out and said that, and that doesn't mean Max Gorn's not the best ruckman in the comp. I still think he is the best ruckman in the competition. Tim English and Rowan Marshall starting to put their hands up there. But I think Max Gorn, from a ruckcraft point of view, is. So the question goes, do teams try this on him more often? I don't know if they do.
Absolutely. From a Melbourne's perspective, I guess not much has changed from the end of last season, finals-wise, in terms of converting inside 50. They're 2 goals, 8 at half-time.
Yeah.
And those numbers won't win you too many games of footy. That is going to be their Achilles heel. I think their inability forward-wise. Look, I know Cozzy Pickett will come back in, but in terms of key forwards, Shacky to me doesn't cut the mustard long-term. Van Ruin's a young man finding his way.
He needs someone around him.
He needs to be the second or third tall forward if possible. So, look, the wheels aren't falling off. It's one game, small sample size, but
it's not ideal.
They're playing the Bulldogs this week, who I think are a real chance to start the season pretty well. So Melbourne have to be careful here, otherwise they could find themselves. And you talked about the sugar hit of being able to stay in the moment despite the Joel Smith incident, the Angus Brayshaw moment. That can they overcome that and produce a strong season? My gut feeling is if they drop a few early, it can snowball a bit, and if other names come out which is in the background for the Joel Smith discussion, then I just have some concerns for Melbourne. It's only one game, though.
Yeah, it is. The stats don't lie in terms of teams that start the season 0-1, 0-2, 0-3. Once you get to 0-3, it's very unlikely you play finals. So they need to win this week against the Bulldogs. Good teams will do that. I agree with you. I think maybe the Bulldogs have a real look at it this year. They've got a great list. I'd have them close to a top four list. That doesn't mean they're top four performers.
On paper, they look
on paper,
enormous.
Which doesn't mean anything. But Melbourne's got a good list on paper too. So that's going to be an interesting one. I really like Christian Salem's game from Melbourne side of things. 27 disposals. Played a bit more mid, which they sort of needed that extra one going through there. Clayton Oliver had 30 touches. But you're right, the Lizard was very good for Sydney. Isaac Heaney with no Parker, with no Adams. They played James Jordan in there, an ex-Melbourne player. They played Isaac Heaney in there a lot. He had 26 disposals and a goal. He'll play more forward as those two players come back, Parker and Adams. They're inside guys. But I really liked how Sydney looked, and really dangerous season coming up for them, I reckon, Skeeter.
I had them as a slider, so we're clearly...
Sydney?
Yeah, so I'm wrong.
So we started well, haven't we?
Yeah.
So we've both picked Melbourne, and you had Sydney as a slider. I don't have Sydney as a slider. Who do I have as a slider? Melbourne.
You're Melbourne? No, I was trying to, because we went through a top eight last week. Yes. We didn't get your top eight. I know we're 1 week in,
great.
But can you rattle off the top of your head that the eight that you think you had in play?
Yes, correct. I'm just going to make sure I've got the teams in front of me.
That's fine, but yes. I mean, you're going to have the obvious suspects like Collingwood and Carlton.
Yeah, so my top four, I've got Port Adelaide high. I've got them starting the season really well.
I've got them top two.
6 home games in the first 8 rounds and the other 2 at the MCG. I've got Port Adelaide top 2 by round 8, and they'll continue there. Port Adelaide, Brisbane,
me.
Collingwood.
Carlton in the mix?
Yeah, Carlton, top four. I've got Carlton top four.
You love the Giants?
Sorry, Giants. Giants top four,
yep.
Right? That's my four.
Yep.
GWS, Port Adelaide, Brisbane, Collingwood.
Yep, that's all fair.
Although I didn't love what Brisbane did on the weekend.
No, there's some concerns.
We're about to get into that game. I have Sydney there. I have Melbourne sliding out of the eight.
Okay, so Melbourne misses.
Melbourne out.
And I've St Kilda stays in?
Yeah, St Kilda stays in. Adelaide come up. And Bulldogs are competing with... who have I missed?
Frio
and Bulldogs. So that's my nine.
Okay. Yeah, it's fair enough. No, I just wanted to check because it was... it's only 1 week, so I've just got to bear that in mind. But you're right, if you start 0-2, you start to have some concerns.
Richmond might win the spoon. I will say that. Carlton defeat Brisbane. They were poor. Carlton defeat Brisbane. Yeah, someone better win the spoon. Carlton defeat Brisbane 86-85. Honestly, like if this happens closer to finals, it's one of the great comebacks of all time. Seriously, at the Gabba, Brisbane, a grand finalist last year. Yes, the Blues were in the prelim and got done by Brisbane in this same game, basically in a rematch. They were down by 46 points early in the second quarter. That's a massive deficit. To be able to come back against Brisbane at the Gabba, teams don't do that. No. That was outstanding.
14 wins in a row up until then, I think, at the Gabba for Brisbane. And you're right. Look, you talk of some great victories. It's certainly Michael Voss's best victory in a home and away match, without question.
Yep.
Of course, the final against Melbourne last year will surpass that because of the significance of it. But that will have an enormous impact on what Carlton can do moving forward. Strange weekend. We talked about there's another match, the Gold Coast Suns game, which was a massive momentum swing. This game, let's say 46 points up. Do you have a question mark against Brisbane about how they had an inability to shut down and close out Carlton? Or do we give credit to the fact that the Blues were able to find a way back into the game? And, you know, Curnow kicked four, Mackay kicks the match winner with three, seven of the goals from the big boys. I think there's a bit of both there. With Carlton, the credit that deserve to be given to them, but also Brisbane, unable to maybe have that ruthless nature.
You've got to go back to 2019 to have both grand finalists losing in the first round, if we're calling this round one, which I think we are, right? Collingwood and West Coast in 2019 lost both their round one games. And the reason I mention that is I think Brisbane and Collingwood were similar. They didn't defend well. And they attacked well. They're up by 46 points. It was flat out attack. But when Carlton really put the foot down and you need to defend well against that, Brisbane didn't do that well, and GWS didn't do, Collingwood didn't do it well against GWS either. So, look, I think credit's probably got to go more to Carlton. Brisbane, you get yourself in that position, you're coming off the back of a good year, you probably think you're going to beat them, and the foot comes off a tiny bit.
Mentally, at half-time, I mean, you're still up by what, 5+ goals.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing Brisbane by any means.
There was a patch. There was a patch at the start of the third quarter, but Carlton kicked 4 or 5 goals in 7 minutes. You take that out of the game and Brisbane still win this.
Yeah, and you know what? Apart from the scoreline, that doesn't concern me overly. It's losing Kitty Coleman, who is...
Big part.
That's a massive part. Ashcroft comes back in. Dudale will play some footy, obviously, this year. But yeah, that's the one that... it's going to force their restructure of the way they move the ball significantly.
I think no Walsh for Carlton. That's going to add
no
to
Wiedering.
Them, obviously. But the big point of this game was Harry Mackay. You mentioned 4 goals to Charlie Curnow, 3 goals, 1 to Harry Mackay. Can he kick? Can his technique stand up in big games? And you do not get a bigger moment than a minute to go away from home. You winning this game for Carlton was a lot bigger than Brisbane winning. I think Brisbane will be fine. Carlton lose this, and you've got to find that belief again. Brisbane have been a good side for 5 years.
And
Carlton
bear in mind,
haven't.
And the Blues started last year rather poorly.
Correct.
So to be able to... get a bit of momentum early.
So that entire mentality is resting on this kick from Harry Mackay, and we know what troubles he's had. We know the amount of work that he says he's done. So this is you know, can you put it into practice? Talk the talk. Can you walk the walk? Outstanding.
What was he, 35 out, 40 out?
Yeah, but which is
a better range for him, I
is
think.
Is it?
Well, I think I hate it when he's 25 out because
correct.
He wants to go around his body. And I, you know what, I know it's old school. I still like to see a bloke that practices his craft with the technique of a drop punt, as he did, carried out like that, as opposed to, I know it's the trend to go around the body, but...
Nah, just put that in the bin. Like, he's... He's hit 3-1. He kicked all drop kicks. He had one where it came out of his... It looks like his ball drops the thing, like just, you know, absolute uneducated opinion. His follow through and all of that looks fine. It's his ball drop, which...
I'm sure it's workable. You can fix that.
Yeah, correct. But for him to go and kick that up, I was just really happy for him. Like, imagine the pressure that he would have felt. Imagine the talk you and I banging him about and everyone else.
If he'd literally
been the only story. They would have... Yeah, they wouldn't have drawn. Like, lost. They would have lost.
Yeah.
And it would have become Harry Mackay. Like,
it's interesting, though, because there were chances. I mean, speaking of which, big Joey Danner, who misses an open goal.
Yes.
Charlie Cameron. I mean, you can go back on lots of split moments, and lots of people now suggesting Brisbane are in the dumpster and Carlton are flying. But, again, the Ross line saying it's never as good or never as bad.
Who'd you pick, by the way?
Oh, of course, Brisbane. I don't think there's too many people that would have tipped the Blues last weekend, did they?
No, I'll pick Brisbane.
Yeah.
Gold Coast defeat Richmond 99-60. I think that is that right? 99-60? Does that sound about right?
It sounds about right.
Yeah, like they look that's flattering, that scoreline. I thought Gold Coast were a 10-goal better team here. I thought the worst game of the weekend. I thought every other game had a bit more. Gold Coast just put the foot down and just smashed them 10 goals. In a row, first time Gold Coast have ever done that unanswered to Richmond, you know, most of the way through the second quarter.
And there's one guy who wears the baggy shorts who just completely, if he doesn't get three, remember he started his career, I think, with 3 Brownlow votes in his first 3 games.
One of them was against West Coast.
Yeah.
Talking about Matty Rowell.
Yeah.
Baggy shorts, like that.
20 clearances, thank you very much. 20 clearances. He's been a tackling machine at the start of his career.
Most since Paul Salmon in 1998.
Paul Salmon, again, that was against, that was at the MCG. Paul Salmon, who, of course, playing the ruck.
Yes.
I think it was Hawthorn Essendon in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a ruckman to get that amount of clearance is extraordinary. But this bloke, if he's up and running with the support of Tuke Miller,
Noah Anderson
running through the middle, and Ben King kick 5, there's a lot of the pieces of the puzzle starting to form pretty quickly. Mind you, I mean, look, Richmond, I know you're about to slate them and they deserve to be whacked because they were...
I'm going to whack them.
Yeah, of course. Well, you should do. They're 11-8 to 2-1 at halftime. The game is effectively over. I know just talked about a 46-point result. But it's done and dusted. 61 points is Gonski. After that point, they've kicked 7-3. That's what Adam Uzo will be trying to sell his team. I mean, and one of my favourite players, Shea Bolton, he had 8 disposals, kicked 2 goals... He's got
three goals.
He has got so many tricks up his sleeves. And when you look at up his sleeves, should I say, when you look at their final goal tally of 9, he's kicked a third of their goals.
You want him more involved, though.
100%. Though. He just needs to be a bit more active. But you're right. The game was done at half time. They got a run on after the main break. Richmond showed a bit more competitiveness. But the storyline, certainly Damien Hardwick, who was booed by the time, every time he came up on the big screen, because there were a lot of Richmond supporters up there.
Do we like that?
Oh, you know what?
I do.
It doesn't. I don't care.
I like that. That's all right.
I don't care. It's.
He's left him.
He's left him.
Left him for dead.
He won 3 flags.
Yeah, he's left him for dead though, hasn't he? He's not going to win any more flags there. He's left him for dead.
He couldn't give 2 rats about some nuffy Richmond bloke who's jumped on a Jetstar flight hoping to get back that same night, which is going to be unlikely, that he is going to, you know, he's on his $1 million deal. He's got a nice life up there. He couldn't give 2 hoots about those
blokes. I probably agree with you there. So I don't mind it at all.
Nah.
Look, the reason I don't think Richmond are going to be any good this year, and fair enough, you want to come at me. Like, so Taranto had 15 touches. He's meant to be one of their best players. That's not good enough from one of your leaders. They didn't have anyone else. They had 3 players over 20 possessions in the entire game. So you're not going to win games of footy like that. But that's not my point. My point is their list, mate. Like, their list, they've lost some seniority. Rewalt, Cochin out the door. We know that. But some of these players have played under 20 games. Ryan, Young, Dow... Gibkiss has played not many games, although he's going to be a very good player.
I like him.
He's exposed against a big key forward. Campbell, one of his first games, if not his first. Yeah.
Seth Campbell's good.
Yeah, correct.
He was good for as
his
a
his first game. I think it was his first game.
I think it was. Yes, yeah, one of the few Seths I've heard in AFL footy. Okay. But you're right. The list isn't great. They will get back. In the short term, Nankervis and Dusty, etc.
Lynch. Or is a bit longer?
No, they're aiming for the game against Carlton on Thursday. Okay. So, very hard to see. A team that got belted essentially for most of the day, the next week will get 85,000 people watching at the G.
Yeah, correct.
Thursday.
Correct. Do you think? Do you have as dire thoughts as I do? I think they're bottom four side this year.
Yeah, I didn't have them anywhere near the top eight. I thought maybe 10th to 14th, but I'm now thinking 14th to 18th.
Okay, very good. GWS defeat Collingwood, and I thought was, you know, the one pointer was a pretty good game as well, but this one was a good one. GWS defeating Collingwood 114-82. That scoreline a little flattering, although GWS were straight at goals. Mm. They kicked well, which you need to do against Collingwood. You can't give them any chance. If they're within six goals coming into the last quarter, you're in trouble. So GWS went into the last quarter, I think, a little bit more than
about eight goals.
Yeah, yeah. So
seven goals.
You probably need that going into the last against Collingwood.
Do you? Now that's this is going to be the theme which will play out. Now they're going to unveil the flag, premiership flag, this week against the Swans. They were missing some personnel. You know, the question mark, I guess, will be levelled against Craig McRae's, and Lee Matthews has done this, and I don't know what the balance is. You can speak better to this about 2018. Have the players, they've gone and seen a movie about themselves at Hoyts, about the documentary, about the final month. How long do you enjoy the moment? And Craig McRae said, well, you've got to smell the roses, which is very true.
Yes.
There is a line that you have to switch back on to the ruthless nature.
There's a big reason that every side doesn't go back to back, and it's very difficult to do. Hawthorn did it, three-peated. Richmond did it. Geelong went back to back, or they never went back to back.
I don't think they went
back to back. Do you mean, think about Geelong? They were one of the great sides of the last two decades. They couldn't go back to back.
No,
it's one. Every team comes for you, right? So having done this in 18 and not winning in 19, every team, you're the best side, and they're going to beat you.
Collingwood's in that position right now.
Right. And so the premiership hangover isn't because these guys have been on the piss all summer. They look like they've been working as hard as anyone, and hearing some of the stories out of what this is, seeing them train, they've been training at elite levels. Of course they have. They're one of the best sides in the competition. But it's not easier in your second year. I can tell you that right now. I don't have them winning the flag. Do I know who's going to? I said GWS at the start of the year, so I'm going to stay with GWS. So Collingwood, they're going to be one of the best sides this year. But every week is going to be like this for them. Everyone wants to knock them off. In the end, they have 27 scoring shots to 24. They have more scoring shots than GWS. If they kick straight, do they win? Probably not, to be honest. Big moment out of this one, and it was great watching this as this unveiled over the summer. Mason Cox v. Dave Matthews, Collingwood v. GWS, and how that looked. Mason coming out and said it was a showground for livestock. Dave Matthews suggesting maybe Mason Cox wasn't going to get picked for the game.
Off the back of that, the Giants, I love their media team, media team. They had a petting zoo set up, little farm animals, with the little placard of the Texan at the venue, at the ground.
So
terrific.
Over on back chat, we saw a bit of fan movement that they were setting up for every time Mason Cox got a touch. Instead of a boo, it was going to be a moo.
Well, there weren't too many boos or moos.
I'll tell you what, in the first half, no one made a peep. Mason had the big donuts at halftime.
Five in total, I think.
But at halftime, hadn't touched the ball, mate. He was at 12 CBAs, and he hadn't touched the pill.
I'll tell you what, when he did touch the pill, can you just quickly give me your thoughts? The AFL's given him his please explain for going through mummy in the pre-game. I don't know whether it was intentional in terms of trying to upset the Giants or not. Will he be fine?
No.
Will he warn?
The way I saw it, so what happens in the middle, right?
You get time in the middle.
So I think the away team goes first, and then you know, there's probably a bit of a wink and a nudge, right? We're coming in now. It looked like the umpire had bounced the ball, and GWS had moved in, and Cox was coming in off his run up. It looked like it was the last one before he left. Either GWS didn't know, or they were actually posturing him, and he thought, you know what, fuck yeah, I'm gonna just. He didn't run through money. Nah. He put it like seeing Mason in the public. It doesn't look like a aggressive type, to be honest.
But he's an American.
Yeah, he
loves a banter.
Yeah, correct.
Which is fine. And Shane Mumford.
I heard Brett Daniels speak about it yesterday, and they were pressing him on the footy show. He's surprised with Mumby's reaction. He said, "Mate, I've never seen Shane Mumford hold back in any regard, and I'm surprised he didn't try and punch on with him." So Mate, I think it's a nothing to see here, isn't it?
Well, I think it's great to see, not just that instance, yes, but the banter and the theatre, and even Craig McRae spoke afterwards about the fact he loves it. It meant there's a sellout crowd. We need more of that in footy. And as soon as there is something controversial or some, you know, clubs getting together and creating that,
I mean,
we don't have that in Perth anymore between the Eagles and Dockers. It's pretty,
sterile.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
We need a bit more of a president going against a president, and a little bit of banter and get together.
Rivalry.
Get together and say, look, we're going to stir the pot here a bit. You happy to join in? Absolutely. It creates talk amongst the fans, amongst the media. As Craig McRae said, let's not dampen that. The AFL needs to be embracing this sort of stuff, as long as it doesn't cross the line. I think that was all terrific. Dave Matthews, Mason Cox included, well played. Giants get the 4 points.
Absolutely. There were some big performances. Callum Brown.
Irish born.
Yes. 5 goals from the big fella. And he kicked some good ones too. He kicked one on the run from like 70. Absolutely booted it through. Brent Daniels, very good. 4-2. Like him a lot. Skeeter. Tom Green. Elite areas in the midfield. Can he win the Brownlow?
Well, and Carling has been big on him for a while. He's got the body shape to dominate midfield.
So clean.
Yeah, so he's got to be in the mix.
Lockie Whitfield's back to the old. He's running around like a headless chook in the back line for brilliant fantasy players out there. He's just that hungry for a touch, which is just brilliant in your back line in fantasy terms. Kicking sideways, headless chook running around, trying to get handball receives. We absolutely love that. Nick Dacos, I think the big question mark was, would he be tagged? I don't think against GWS he was ever going to be. But you're going to see sides. I think they play Hawthorn coming up at some stage. They play them this week.
Who's that? Collingwood? No, they've got Sydney this Friday.
Okay, very good. At some point they're playing Hawthorn this year. And I think Finn McGuinness might have a little look at him. But look, 34 touches. He was Collingwood's best player.
Lockie Schultz. I didn't see much of this game. Lockie Schultz.
He was pretty good. 16 disposals. Kicked 3 behind. He has 16, kicks 3.
It's mission accomplished.
Correct. So, look, Collingwood going to be fine. I picked GWS.
So did I.
Thank you very much.
We're 2 from 4.
Yeah, well done, Skeeter. Can we just summarise, wrapping up in a sec, round 0, yay or nay? Did you like it? Did you hate it? How do we improve?
Now, I was sort of a bit concerned about the fact we didn't have, you know, even just one game at the MCG would have been nice, but I understand the thinking behind it. The bottom line is, I would much rather have last weekend, or the weekend just finished, for premiership points,
yes,
than another set of practice matches.
Right.
I mean, 2 practice matches or 1 simulation, that's enough. As a fan, I know, yes, players, you'll have a different view, but I think I'd rather see more footy that means something than the other stuff, which, you know, we're just dancing around the subject and waiting for the real stuff to happen. So, in essence, yes. How I don't think, given the NRL are going to Vegas for 5 years in a row, whether we'll continue to have just the northern markets in this week or as standalone, but I understand the thinking behind it.
It's a way to get an extra round in front of people without having to go and pay the players or the clubs or anyone else to play an extra round. It's the same amount of games,
yep,
but it extends the season by a week, which the AFL and broadcasters have been desperate for. They want that. The players don't want to play more games. You're all under control over there, Nicholas. The AFL wants to play more games. There's been a loggerheads. This is how you do it. And I think next year you won't see all the Northern. You might have a game in WA, a game in South Australia, and 2 games in Melbourne. But I think you'll see this continue. They're not going to scrap this.
No.
And I'll put something on Twitter asking people what they thought. A lot of chats about, well, no one really cares about the fans. And like I've said on this podcast a few times, I don't really think any decisions are made for the fans in the AFL. They expect people to adapt and to, you know, go along and to figure it out, but they know they have the fan base.
Well, build it and they will come.
Yeah, correct. So this wasn't a let's look after the fans decision, but I don't think anything is. Everything's built on money, and they probably get a bit more money at the next broadcast deal if they've got another round of footy.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
That's us done and dusted, Skeeter. Make sure you get those tickets for Pacific Avenue playing on the 22nd of March. Socials, follow us there. The best comment, email, or interaction gets a slab of beer from Shelter. Footycast at shelterbrewing.com.au, footycast at batchoutstudios.com.au. Any final words, birthday boy?
Yeah, the young bloke from Cooter used got the jumpers for $3.50. He's now just trying on the street, hoping to find an extra dollar or two to get through the month. But no, it's been fun watching you barter your way through Bali.
Okay. Bagus Sakali. Bye-bye, Sacha. Bye-bye, Sacha.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.